you're right. James, that particular building, maybe they're different size, but it looks like she's clicked on four different values there.
They are set on, they're different sizes.
Okay.
We're looking at the boardwalk now compared to promenades and some of the others. There's more unique pricing. We've seen some of those sell for $600,000.
Okay.
Boardwalk.
Does it have a view? It's in.
Is it interior?
Did they bring a lot of information?
Please enter your account code.
Is the last name Stefan?
Harlan.
Hello, this is Stefan. May I help you?
Yes, this is Ron Houseman with the Taney County Board of Equalization.
Wonderful. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I apologize for us being a little bit late. We see that you have an appeal on a piece of property that's at the Branson Landing in Branson, Missouri.
Correct.
I have you on speakerphone, and all the members of the Board of Equalization are present.
Okay.
And if you would like to begin, we're ready to hear what you have to say. We also have your assessment appeal form in front of us.
Great, and you also have a copy of the appraisal, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, wonderful. On page 3 of 6 is where the actual appraisal amount comes into play, and the appraisal was done at it came out to be 202,000 even. And so what I'm doing is appealing for a reduction in taxes due to the appraised amount of the condo.
We are all listening. We're also searching our computers, and we also have a screen on the board, so we're looking
okay.
at different portions of this.
Yes, on page 3 of 6 at the very bottom.
Yes, I'm there.
Okay, great. At the very bottom, you'll see that based on complete visual inspection of the interior, et cetera, et cetera, the report is that $202,000 as of 10/15 to 2012.
Mr. Stefan, this is James Strahan.
Yeah, hi, James.
And you bought this back in 06 for $378,000, I see.
That's correct.
Do you know why the appraiser picked a two or three foreclosures and REOs to run the appraisal?
Don't know why he did what he did, other than he said that was according to industry standard, as that was the most comparable comps that he ran. Where are you seeing that these were foreclosures?
Actually, he says it in one of his statements over on page.
I see.
I can't remember which page. I just remember reading it.
Yeah. I don't think all of them were foreclosures, however.
No, all of them was not.
I do know that the government has very much tightened down the appraisal process and that they're bound by pretty strict guidelines nowadays to do an appraisal for the market value of a property. I do know that.
Had you had it appraised in 2006, or was you in on the initial purchases?
I was in on the initial purchases. Quite frankly, I think I overbought it or overpaid for it. I think I was assured the last unit to be sold at the landing.
Are you familiar with what the price range of those condos are? I'm sure you are.
If I was to sell that today, and I've talked to Jim Strong, who is one of the better-known realtors there in Missouri, he said, Stephan, you know, you'd be lucky anywhere from 200 to probably 225, 235 to get for that unit at this point. They've been beaten up so bad.
Now they're not in the timeshare business there, are they? And aren't those?
Oh heavens, no! This is not timeshare at all. These are units to live in or to rent out. We originally bought the unit to move and to live there, and then, as you know, during the downturn in the economy, everything went up in a balloon, and I ended up getting a job here in Utah, and so. We moved from California to Utah instead.
Well, my concern is I've got 11 sales here that was never mentioned, which laid in 11. I've got $435,000, I got a $460,000, I got a $315,000.
I'm sorry, what year did you say, sir?
In 11.
So that's a year prior to this appraisal, right?
That's correct. He picked all his late in 12, or early in 12.
Correct. As an appraiser, he is bound, I believe, by law now, by the federal government, he's bound to pick the closest sales and properties to the date that he's doing the appraisal. And $400,000, I'm not sure those are properties like mine, which are on the inside. They may be the lakeside. I'm not sure that they're two-bedroom condos either.
All right. Well, one of them was just three units from you. 205 sold for 400.
I'm sorry, say that again?
205, which is just three units from you, sold for $435,000.
Do we know what type of a sale it was? Do we know if it went to a relative? Do we know how many bedrooms it is? Because it won't be the same bedrooms as mine. Square footage. Do you know what the square footage is on that property?
Did you appeal this property prior to this appeal?
No, I haven't.
You haven't appealed?
No, I haven't. But I can assure you, if it's only two units over, it's not the same property as mine.
Okay.
Because they have different floor plans, they will not put the same floor plan next to each other. Like that. It's probably a three-bedroom, or it could be even a corner unit, which in which case it is worth a lot more because it's a lot bigger square footage.
The only thing I was trying to bring to awareness to the board here, and that's fine, the appraisal's run, is if this one sold for $435,000, three or four doors from you, and yours initially, you gave $368,000 for yours, to see a 50% decline in those condos would mean that this one should have sold at original cost of $800,000. I'm just not seeing a 50% decline.
You, but with all due respect, sir, you don't know if that's an inside property or if that's an outside property on the lake.
That's true. That's true. And I'm just trying to.
I'm just trying to show
the difference in the sales prices.
Understand, but when you do that, you also have to match up apples to apples. And if that's an outside unit, and clearly is a bigger unit, and it's a unit sitting on the lake, then those units went for a lot more than what I bought mine originally. And they maintain their value better than the units on the inside. As you know, it's location, 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 and unfortunately, I wasn't smart enough to buy one on the left side. From being out of town, I went to the bank, and they, by law, can't even talk to the appraiser. They simply hire the appraiser to do the appraisal, can't even talk to them now. And this is what we got. So, I'm not sure it's nice to know that a property sold for that, but I'm not sure I can make the connection between the dots and say that that's a like property.
I understand. All I'm trying to stress is it's showing a 50% decline, and the other sales is not reflecting of a 50% decline, but that,
well,
the board is sitting here going through your appraisals, why it gets so quiet at times. They're going going through the appraisal.
And I'm not trying to say this is my number either. I'm trying to say that I left it to a professional to do the appraisal. I have called Jim Strong, and I do know that some of these units have sold in the 180s and 190s in 2012. That I do know for a fact. And they were like properties of mine.
Well, I think with the presence of the appraisal, and it was done for, I think, Wells Fargo.
That's correct. It was done by Wells Fargo.
Right.
Well, I shouldn't say done by Wells Fargo. They requested the appraisal to be done.
I'm ready to make a motion to set the OE number ending in 11 at a appraised value of $202,000. Per the appraisal.
Is there a second to the motion?
What did you say move to?
I made a motion.
Second.
Motion's made and second to establish BOE number 2013-11 at $202,000. Discussion. Discussion. Motion's made and seconded to lower BOE number 2013-11. As per appraisal, which is $202,000 appraised value. All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Mr. Harlan, you're going to receive notification of this motion accepting your appraisal and establishing the value at that appraisal. In the course of the next week or so.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your I'm not sure if you're all gentlemen or ladies, if you're there. Thank you very much. I appreciate your diligence in this.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Is the next a teleconference?
We have all teleconferences except one today.
Really?
I'll tell you which one that is in just a second.
And the number I have here on the... Is this the old Mutton Hollow?
I own it.
Yes. Celebration City.
The one that's in person is that PCF that's after this at 215.
And phone number I have here, is that it, 214?
Yes. Will you be speaking to Jackie Dean?
And again, you said I'd be speaking with who?
Jackie Dean.
Okay.
Please enter your account code.
Has this been lowered through the years, James? Because, I mean, that's the Celebration City.
Good afternoon, PTS.
Yes, this is Ron Houseman with the Taney County Board of Equalization.
Okay.
We're
calling for Jackie.
Calling for Jackie. Thank you. Thank you. Jackie, can
Hello.
You hear me? Hello. Jackie, I've got you.
Everyone today.
Good. I've got you on speakerphone. The entire Board of Equalization is sitting here, which also includes the county assessor and the county clerk. And we have a couple of appeals from you regarding properties within the county, and we're ready to listen to what you have to say.
Starting with parcel number 07-8.0-34-000-000-020.000.
Got it.
That is for Celebration City, or what used to be Celebration City.
And we have that up on the screen now.
Okay. I had... a letter in with an income statement. Hirsch and Family Entertainment purchased Celebration City in late 2001. They pumped a lot of capital into the property, and they were showing no return on the investment, so they unfortunately decided to close the park in 2008. They closed October 25th of 2008 and then never reopened. Since that time, the property has been sitting vacant. They have been able to either transfer some of the equipment and rides to other properties or otherwise dispose of those, but the buildings themselves have been sitting vacant, except for one of the theaters, Mickey's Pizza, and a First Aid building that they leased to Woodland Hills Church. There's no real signed lease agreement with the church. They just kind of work with them each year and go month by month, whatever they can pay. The income statement that I attached to the letter will show you that about $82,000 is all of the income that the property received in 2012. that's been pretty steady over the last few years. It basically equates to 30 cents a square foot on those improvements that they are leasing. We had talked with Mr. Strahan, you know, before the park closed, kind of trying to look at an income approach then, because the park was doing so poorly. And what we found that was, even when the park was open, the income stream didn't seem to support the land value, much less all of the improvements. So for that reason, it seems a little unfair for the improvement value to increase in 2013 when this property's actually been sitting vacant now for over 4 years. And so that's why the owner's estimate of value that we were proposing was $3,500,000.
Christy, pull up for me what the current assessment is on that property.
$4,500,000, basically.
Were you asking me, sir? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay.
What was it requested? $3,500,000.
Jackie, this is James Strahan. Can you hear me?
Apparently
okay,
not.
Yes.
I'd make a recommendation to this board that we set this value at the $3,500,000, but leave the $315,000 ag value to some of the vacant lands. So the value would be $3,815,000.
What was the value in 2012, James?
It was about the same amount if you counted the ag land. We did have some buildings dropped off, as you've heard this story, song and dance of our old system not calculating, and that's where the actual increase came from, is when those buildings calculated back on. But we did have some of the buildings on at 98% good, which that's not correct. It shouldn't be 98% good on a facility that's been closed down. But that would be my recommendation to the board, is
$3,815,000.
We'd
be very happy with that, Mr.
Strahan.
I appreciate that.
Make that motion.
Motion for approval.
Second.
There is a motion regarding BOE number 2013-58. To leave the appraised value of $3,500,000, an additional $315,000 on the vacant land to be named by James, which would be a total of $3,815,000. Total valuation discussion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. And do you have a second parcel we're going to chat about?
I do. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. I did not send any information on this other parcel. I was more concerned about the first one. I'm showing the parcel number to be 18-7.0-26-000-000-001.001.
That's it.
And I believe this one was actually a land increase. Is that what you show?
James, if I'm looking at this right, the assessed total was $850,000 and it's gone to $1,690,000. Is that right?
Yes.
And the reason is?
I believe at the time of appraising it, we didn't appraise but about half of it. It's involving, they split off parcel, Jackie, that crossed the highway some way, and we just got total appraised value on 94 acres for $14,104, and I will have to stay with that value. I will not budge from that an inch. This board can.
This is over Baird Mountain area, is that correct?
Right. But the highway, it crosses the highway.
Okay.
So what the assessor is indicating is that they had assessed part, and there was part of it that had been left off. They've added it to this so that the total parcel is now assessed. It has appraised value on the books in front of us at $14,104, an assessed value, because it's assessed as ag land, at $1,690.
Jackie, I'm reading this wrong. Just one moment.
Sure.
Just one moment. It says caused by highway, but it can't cause by highway on Baird Mountain. But that's what it says on my PRC. But I still won't.
You still think that?
On 93 acres, I'm not going to vary from that assessed evaluation.
Understood. We're okay with that.
Motion to deny.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to deny the appeal of BOE number 2013-59. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. If I'm not mistaken, Jackie, that was the extent of the appeals that you had in front of us?
It was. I appreciate your time.
Thank you all very much for your time. Have a good day.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Mm-hmm. And that's L? Person or it's... Okay. Thank you. Christy, am I looking at appraised total 1036310? Ahead of schedule, but is everyone ready to approach us? Mr. Milton? Mr. Johnson?
Yes. Would you? I think we are. You all are ready to hear this case?
We're ready if the board's ready. If you'd like to join us at the microphone, and if you would identify yourself, we're taping these proceedings.
I will.
Thank you.
My name is Todd Johnson. I'm an attorney up in Springfield. I represent PCF LLC and its member, Larry Milton, who's here with me. And Larry, if you would just stand up here, and that way we can both speak and the microphone will pick us up. If you'd go ahead and announce your name and your position here.
My name is Larry Milton, the managing member of PCF LLC.
Yeah, let me get started. I had some packets that I distributed around, and it may be helpful to go through these because I think this will bring the issues a little more clear. I know you all have been dealing with real estate tax values all day long, and that's not what this is about. What this is about is a floating dock, one down its Main Street Marina, and the question is that real estate or is it personal property? So in that respect, it's both a factual question and a legal question, hence my presence here. And I think that the easiest way to describe what our point is, start with some photos. The first one here is under tab number one of the packet that you've got. And the point that we'd make with this is this is a dock. It's Main Street Marina right at Branson Landing. As you can see in this area here, there are four walkway connections, which I'll show you a photo of in a minute. But those all connect to land that's owned either by Empire Electric, which is outlined in yellow, land, as I understand, that's leased from the city by HCW Private Development, which is in red, and then otherwise is Corps of Engineer land. These all came from the assessor's maps.
Donna, if you would you give him that pointer so that he could stay at the microphone if he so chooses? And is it on? This huge wand will come out like Star Wars.
I've got one in my briefcase. Let me just grab it. The battery may have hooked out on that. There we go.
Look directly into that when you turn it on.
mine works. You can see these are the walkways I was indicating. But anyway, you can see this property empire, this HCW land. All of this, of course, Lake Taneycomo, core land. The point is none of that land's owned by PCF LLC. And in order to be taxed as real estate, you have to either be the land itself, or you've got to be something permanently affixed and attached to the land. Those are just standard routine definitions in state tax law and regulations. And that's the problem here, is that this is not those things. This is a movable, obviously a floating boat dock. If you flip to tab number two in the photos that we've provided, this shows the walkway. These are a movable type of walkway that can be detached.
Well, we're down on yesterday.
I guess. But you can see they can be detached both from where they attach to the seawall there and then to the dock as well. They're just obviously movable, and those just have to be raised up for it to be moved. They're not permanent attachments is really the point of that. And there are four connecting walkways of that kind. And as I showed before, they connect either to the land of Empire Electric or to HCW's. Next is under tab number three. This shows the only other way in which this dock's connected. And what these are basically just telephone poles that go down through this hole in the dock, and they drop from here down to the lake bed. And now they're not set in concrete in the lake bed or permanently attached or anything of that nature. They just simply sit there. And in order to move the dock, all you do is pull these poles up, and then the dock can be moved. My clients own the property now for about a year, and they have moved the dock on one occasion already. They moved the dock down some. So it's readily movable simply by lifting up those pilings. Now, under tab number four, the next document, the importance of this is it's a bill of sale, as you can see. The way that this dock was purchased, and it was the Gage family went into bankruptcy, if you recall, over this dock. And it was sold by the bankruptcy trustee to my client. And it was acquired by bill of sale, not by deed, not by any other means. It was a bill of sale. And if we can go to the next tab, this bill of sale and this method was authorized by an order of the bankruptcy court, which is what this is. This is an actual copy of the order that was entered by the bankruptcy judge authorizing and allowing this sale to occur, the sale of this dock. You can see it's called number one floating platform is what they referred to it as. But anyway, authorize the sale of it by a bill of sale.
In that order,
what's that?
In that order, was there direction from the judge about from the proceeds of that sale that the taxes were to be paid that were owed to Taney County?
There is a reference to that in the sale. That's not a subject I went back and looked at. Larry, do you recall the exact term of that?
I wasn't involved with that side of the... I know I wasn't.
No, I understand. Yeah. But if I'm not mistaken, there was, from the proceeds and the dollars that were being paid, if I'm not mistaken, the bankruptcy judge said that the county would, in fact, be paid the taxes that were owed to the county at the time.
You know, we'll need to take a look at that, because that was an issue as to... There were both mechanics liens and there were also property taxes. And I know there was a question as to whether or not those would be payable. And here's the reason I bring it up. The judge may have said that that issue will simply be resolved after bankruptcy by others, as opposed to actually ordering them to be paid.
And here's my thinking. The collector told us that there was, as part of the order, they were to be paid.
Okay.
And what she said, at least that was my understanding, was very clear, but I don't think that happened.
Yeah, and I'll have to take a look at that and just, I can...
Which would be prior to Mr. Miller.
Correct.
Yeah, and that would have been from proceeds anyway, but
yes, sir.
I'll take a look at that and just send you all a quick letter that gives you correct information on that. Okay, if we go to the next tab then, tab number 6. What this is this is the document that gives this dock the right to be attached to HCW's property. As you can see, it's not a lease and it's not a deed. It's what's called a license. The reason is that this license, which is just a permission to use to connect, if revoked by HCW, means that this dock has to be disconnected, moved, it can no longer attach there. And I'll cover this in a minute, but the law is there's a lot of cases on this, that a license doesn't convey any interest in real estate. So by virtue of being a license, you know, this doesn't convey to PCF any interest in the real estate or the land to which this dock now connects. It simply has a permissive right to connect it there. And I highlighted within this tab, if we could go to the next page, is the provision that authorizes it to be disconnected. Actually, it would be the next page. Right there. Now, upon expiration, and then in the upper portion, it talks about choosing whether to default. The licensee has the right to disconnect the marina structure from the boardwalk, you know, being understood the licensor has the right to require us to do so. That is, HCW could require PCF to do so. And to remove the marina structure from the marina envelope, subject to compliance with applicable laws. The marina envelope is simply an area that was outlined in Lake Tinicoma where this marina would sit. All right, next is under tab number 7, and I think this is really the guts of what I wanted to talk to you all about today. This kind of outlines several of what I view as being the most significant legal authorities that address the central question that you've got to decide, is what is this property? First, under the Tandy County Assessor's website, you know, it has a definition or a reference to what is personal property. And it talks about it, property as not being permanently affixed to or part of the real estate, which this is not. And some of the examples that it provides there includes, as you can see the last two words there, are boat docks. So it's one of the items that's designated on the website as being personal property, which is, of course, our position of what this is. And then next, under the Missouri State Tax Commission definitions, these are definitions the State Tax Commission issues and they guide its decision-making and the decision-making by various collectors and assessors around the state. And it defines real property, of course, as being, real property includes the land itself, as you can see, and then it refers to several different things, buildings, structures, fixtures, all on the land, and then any rights and privileges belonging to the land. Again, here, we don't have those things, and we only have a license, so there's no right in the land or belonging to the land that's at issue. Included in real estate are also improvements, but again, these are buildings, additions to building, permanently attached additions to land. So, you know, again, we're not permanently attached in the case of a floating boat dock, and that's the reason why that leads to this conclusion. Personal property is basically everything else. So it's tangible property that's not real property. And importantly, in the last part of the definition, characteristic of them are that they are not permanently attached to the land. So, you know, as we're balancing these definitions and what is this, our view is that it falls clearly within the personal property. Now, interestingly, there's a statute which is cited here that deals with or refers to floating boat docks. And it talks, the purpose of the statute is to deal with where personal property taxes to be paid. But it refers to all tangible personal property in a county other than one in which the owner resides, shall be assessed in the county where the owner resides, except that houseboats, cabin cruisers, floating boat docks, that was misstated, should say floating boat docks, and manufacturing shall be assessed in the county where they're located. So the important thing here is that this shows the Missouri legislature clearly contemplated floating boat docks within the category of personal property. And then finally, we get down to the cases that deal with it. And again, you know, they support this also. The Supreme Court identified three factors. Interestingly, in this case, they were looking at poles, power lines, and transformers for an electrical utility, and whether or not those constituted real estate or personal property. And they said, look at these three things. Is it annexed to the real property? Has the property been adapted to fit its location? And then thirdly, the intent of the owner, as evidenced by their acts and conduct, that the property should remain permanently. And in that case, they said, no, it's not in the case of the poles and the transformers, et cetera. And the same here. I mean, this is obviously a floating dock that is neither annexed to the real estate. It's not been adapted to that location. It's simply a floating dock. And certainly the intent of the owners is that it can be moved. And when the license expires, it certainly likely will be moved. The next case, we have a tax commission case here, the Joel P. Young case, ruled that a boat dock was personal property. So that's a reported decision of the state tax commission. And then finally, I've talked about this a little bit earlier, about a license not vesting an interest in real property in a licensee. There are numerous cases that hold that, but I cited one of the cases here from the Southern District Court of Appeals in Springfield. And essentially what this means is the license between PCF and HCW doesn't create some kind of property interest here. It's just personal. So that's the essence of our position. It's really not having to do with value or anything of that nature. It's what's the character of this property. And under the procedural rules that apply, we have to bring that question to you all first and present our view and position about it to you all first. And my understanding that there have been several conversations between Mr. Milton and Mr. Strahan about this subject and trying to reach some resolution of this, and I know that they have kind of wrestled with this issue up to now. So we're here to more or less put it in your lap and provide this information to you all.
James?
I provided to the Board of Equalization an exhibit that would be more than just a floating boat dock. And this is what the bankruptcy was filed upon. If you'd go back to the first page of his demonstration, please. There you go. As you can see, that portion that is outlined in green there as the floating boat dock is legally described as a parcel. He even uses the word parcel in the legal description. Never had that occur. I believe the poles involved there is for the dock to go up and down on as they swivel. They are permanently affixed to the bottom of the lake. You've got the ramps that's permanently fixed to a piece of property. That dock is not allowed to go up and down the lake. It is legally described with a legal description per feet where it can be on this agreement. It also, the case that was referred to was totally changed in last year of the 2007 case about the boat docks and the state tax commission. There's legislation that says boat docks is real estate in the state of Missouri for real estate purposes. Now, the assessors and the state tax commission fought that decision because we had no way of knowing whether the lakes up and down and whether they had to move their boat dock. If they had to move their boat dock off of their actual property permit spot, we have no way of knowing that. We can't chase after the docks and knowing where the docks belong. So that's why the state stayed with the rendition of a floating dock is personal property. By law and real estate, a floating dock is real estate to the property. So I'm just, through all this discussion and everything of whether this is real or personal, if this gets declared personal, Mr. Hausman, there is no past due taxes on it. There will not be any procedure to take to collect those that the court has ordered to be paid. I don't think the court knew that argument would be coming forth when they said that it would be taken care of. And that's all the information I have on it. I'm just going, I'd have no other in the county legally described piece of property, which is the bottom of the lake. The water's above that. It cannot, according to this agreement that's recorded here in the recorder's office, it can't float up and down the lake. It's to be in that spot or not exist as that lease number.
A couple of responses. I know when the assessor says the property is permanently fixed to the bottom, those poles that we were looking at, they rest on the bottom. There's no equip. There's nothing that drives it into the riverbed. They rest on the bottom. Through time and movement, they settle through the soil, the dirt, but they will stop and rest on top of the river bottom. We have pulled them up, and it's you use a come along, and they simply just come up out of the water. We went and purchased new ones. They come in, we stand them up, and set them back down. There's no permanent affixion to them. In fact, we've moved three of them in the last couple months. The description, the legal description, I know that the court and our purchase offer and the title company and buyer and seller, the only time a legal description was used is when the bank came up with a legal description to secure their note with it. And to be honest with you, I don't know why they did that. They came up with a meets and bounds, a legal description. I didn't purchase it as a legal description. If there was any way this would have been real property, I would have gotten a title insurance policy. I mean, there's a lot of things in this, and I received a bill of sale. There was no proration of taxes. Nothing led me to believe it was real property. And I've been a commercial broker for 30 years, and I don't know that I agree with most people who understand that floating docks are real property. In fact, I really thought it was the opposite, that they weren't. The only times I've heard of any discussion with real property and a dock is when that dock was an extension of somebody's land. I've heard those arguments of it's just extending what you already own, and it's clearly not the case here.
Well, it's also my understanding that this is the only dock, or there may only be one other dock in Taney County that's assessed as real property, and that all other docks are treated as personal property?
There's a dock in Rockaway that had been treated as real because of its affixion. They have a deeded, where their pylons are in the bank, they have a deeded location, which is 8 foot wide, 40 foot long. And so that extension of that dock is treated as real property.
Right.
But that land, excuse me, but that also attaches to the property owner's property.
As a legal description.
Yeah, so they have property, right. And then they have pilings that extend into the lake. Extension right. of their property.
Yeah, and that's a distinction here. Where this dock joins the land, there's no ownership or any real estate interest at all in favor of PCF. And so that's where we're going with the issue of the fact that it's personal.
Are you familiar with House Bill 842?
I've heard about that bill. I know it's not passed. I believe that's one.
It was signed in 2009.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was.
I was assuming you were talking about another one. Then tell me what the subject matter is.
Dealing with docks and being real estate.
Is that in Chapter 339, the Missouri Appraiser right. Statute?
Signed by Governor Nixon July 7, 2009, effective August 28, 2009. Mm-hmm. This new law defines boat dock as a structure for loading and unloading boats and connecting real property to water, public or private. In addition, a boat dock is real property and has riparian rights. But as you said, the dock just down the lake, known as Scotty's Trout Dock. I mean, I'm just looking at Beacon. It's not being taxed that way. So, and I'm not one, as you guys know, I'm not one to usually send stuff off. I don't know that it wouldn't be best, best to send it off to the state tax and let them decide, knowing about this HB 842. I don't know.
Yeah, if the bill you're referring, what the bill you're referring to is the appraisal statute, I think it is.
Okay.
It really doesn't have application to this particular issue. Being a tax issue, that's simply trying to collect things within areas that real estate appraisers can consider real estate. And it's a different subject than this.
Well, but there's questions by quite a few attorneys as to, is it?
Oh, it is. Y'all, I don't mean to whitewash that at all. This is an open question. It really is. And it's a pretty big question in Missouri. And, we've laid out some of the law that we think applies to it, but it is clearly an open question. It's not been decided by the courts.
Well, a lot of the articles and stuff, because I've done some research on it, it's pretty much saying there's a lot of confusion to the Missouri boat dock law.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, actually, I think the title of this article here is more confusion for Missouri boat dock law.
Well, and it's going to be terrible for the assessors. There's no doubt about it, especially when you have a drought like we had over the last 3 or 4 years and docks moved up and down the lake a quarter of a mile. That cannot happen with this dock.
Well, what
because it's legally described where this dock
will
sit.
Where that one specifically is.
What happened if the water got any higher?
Well, that's not the case. This dock can be moved. There's nothing that requires. It's simply the legal description for HCW's license, and then the bank used that same just because they had nothing else that they could use. You know, honestly, when the HCW license ends, there's no right to have this dock here, and this dock would have to go somewhere else. And so in terms of this dock is affixed here or there's some rights in the property under this dock, there's not. I mean, the Corps of Engineers owns
it. Well, but then, right, and again, then the question is, okay, so you move it to some other property you have. Let's just say you could physically pick it up, move. Now you have a building on it, so then it is personal property. I mean, there's so many ifs and
oh, yeah. Its character still has to be decided, one way or the other.
Brandon, or is it your recommendation, that it's best served as to the county, to the owners of the docks, and to the taxing process, that this go on to State Tax Commission for a final ruling so that the hundreds of docks that lay within Taney County can be assessed properly?
Oh, I think so, only because I don't know that anybody has, like you said, there's no case law on this, is there?
Not conclusively, no.
I mean, so I don't feel that I'm qualified to navigate the... Just to be perfectly honest with you.
Sure.
I mean, like I said, there's other things where I'm like, come on, guys, we can do this. But
this is not, and you want to remember, this is not calling this a piece of land. This is calling this an L, a lease on a piece of land, just like all the rest of the landing.
Right.
So there's another issue here that we haven't brought up that is a determining factor. A lease can be many things, but I've never seen it legally described and not been called real estate.
Real estate. I guess that would be my... I mean, unless you guys have other thoughts, I'd be more
I think it's
happy.
In the best interest the clients also to find out for sure how this is, and I that's my opinion that it should be sent on to the state.
Well,
because I think there's too many questions in, on your behalf. It's not a legal. It's not a. I applaud your presentation. You proved your point, but the assessor also has one, and then looks like the governor has signed something that even brings into more question the legal right of it being personal or real estate. You're looking for a definition. I don't think we can give it to you. I think it needs to be given to you by the State Tax Commission. That's just my personal opinion on it.
Yeah, and we're obligated to bring it to you all first.
Right, so you can't go there without
our first
right.
Steps.
No, and you know.
Well, I'm going to make a motion to deny so that you can go on. And you know that they
deny
come down
so
here.
Harsh. Let's say no change.
Thank you. It is harsh.
It's harsh.
I mean,
and
okay,
words
whatever.
Mean a lot.
You soft-hearted little devil, you. you. It both serves the same purpose. I think it's in your best interest, and you're exactly right. You have to start here and go through us to ever reach the final resolve to this issue. So,
is there a second to that motion?
Well, are you going to change your motion?
No.
The verbiage? Oh, come on, Danny. Say no change.
Well, I mean, we have to deny it for it to go on.
All you have to do is vote on it. You can increase or decrease it. They still have the right to take it on the state tax commission, no matter what.
I made a motion to deny.
Okay, I'm not arguing with
you. Well, I'm bullheaded, am I?
That actually works easier on the deal.
So there's no second?
You're gone.
I say.
You weren't supposed to second it.
Motion's been made and seconded to deny the appeal, which means there will be no change in the valuation.
That's what that means.
Discussion. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you for your time.
Guys, thank you.
Recess.
We'll stand in recess for just a few moments.